Okay. Yes, no, this is Scott Price, and you are tuned into Warning Shots here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Warning Shots is CKUW's independent international news show. Right now I'm joined with David Ball, a journalist for the Vancouver Media Co-op, as well as he's written for the Vancouver Observer. Thank you very much for joining me, David.
You're welcome.
So my understanding, you have done some coverage of the Occupy Vancouver action that is currently underway. Talk a bit about how many people and what kind of people are they there occupying in Vancouver?
Sure. Well, it started on the 15th, so 2 weeks ago, over 2 weeks ago, and it was a huge crowd. There was about 6,000 people, I would say. It was very, very diverse. Among the more diverse protests that I've seen in Vancouver or in a lot of places. And basically what started out as, 10 tents set up, and I slept out the first night as well. There was a few people sleeping out and, starting to set up some tables and stuff. In the last 2 weeks, it's become about more than 100 tents. This last week, they've erected a giant geodesic dome that's a healing art space with massage and acupuncture and stuff. There's a live band jam stage, two different media tents with computers, a full-time food tent from Food Not Bombs. So it's really become quite established, I would say. And it seems like there's always different types of people kind of hanging around. Like there's people camping, obviously, full-time, several hundred people. But also there's a lot of people who just go down and have a discussion or go for a bite. Like I went down for a bite to eat last night, and they're giving away free food and kind of just walked around and talked. There's a guy sleeping there who's a candidate for the mayor in the upcoming election, who's actually kind of renowned because during the mayor debate a few days ago, folks from Occupy Vancouver, or individuals from Occupy Vancouver, actually stormed the stage of the mayor's debate to get homelessness and housing on the agenda, and he was carrying his lobster, symbolizing the lobster dinners that councillors get here. So he's camping out there. There's another city council candidate camping out. Lots of people to talk to, basically. They're quite interesting.
Right. Now, it is kind of amazing to hear, this stuff forming. You talked about kind of the organization of it. It seems to be pretty well, considering, a lot of the other media coverage says it's, just a disorganized bunch of people with bongo drums and guitars, right?
Well, there's a lot of bongo drums and guitars, I have to say that. Well, particularly, I'd say because they're not allowed to have fires. And basically, because we're in the middle of an election, it's become the number one election issue, surprisingly. I was making it that on my election column, but I would say that most people thought that homelessness or housing would be the issue. Or else, transparency or whatever in the government. So basically, that mayor's handling of this, basically letting the tents go up and letting it stay for now, he's come under attack from the right, who wants to send in the police. In a fashion similar to what happened in Oakland, where police raided the camp. And in Oakland, California, that resulted in one protester being shot in the head with a tear gas canister. And he's still in hospital. He was sent into a coma, and he's awake now, but he can't speak. This is an Iraq vet, Scott Olson.
Yeah.
So it seems to add some weight to what the mayor was saying, but he doesn't really want to support it. He's kind of lukewarm, saying, well, they have the freedom of speech to support it, but he doesn't want to alienate the left either.
Right. That's interesting. Now, kind of more talking about, I guess, a little more broadly, because there are, Occupy things popping up. I mean, we have one here in Winnipeg as well, and all over. I think there's one that started up in Regina. The thing, though, is, and the argument has been made that, specifically Jim Flaherty said that it makes sense, this Occupy movement makes sense in the United States, but in Canada, it's misplaced, I think was his words. What do you think of that? I mean, what's your response to that?
I believe that, a movement like this wouldn't have taken root if it wasn't relevant to Canada. Why would people be doing this? The fact that it's, there hasn't been a unified message or demand has made it hard for people to pigeonhole it, I think, but the essential component, I think, is that to get the goal is to get the influence of money out of politics and to really challenge the actions of the 1%, you know, the richest 1% of society. That's what makes this movement quite unique, is that it's not putting forward any particular demand or issue. But in Canada, obviously, we have a 1% economic elite, too. And last Saturday, most recently, Occupy Vancouver did a run on the banks where people went and occupied five largest Canadian banks, and about a dozen people closed their accounts down. And in the end, there's a long occupation of Toronto Dominion, the largest bank in Canada. And, you know, people talked about the not only the elite control over our political system, but also the, you know, the human rights abuses and environmental abuses that go along with the, you know, investment and kind of elite control. So it is obviously very related to Canada. Why would it be happening in so many cities? I mean, it's in like 2,000 cities across the world, and at least a dozen that I've heard of in Canada, the biggest being Vancouver and Toronto. But it must have some traction here because people are doing it.
Right. Well, also, too, I mean, within that, there's also this sort of, this notion anyways, and this is over the last couple of years, since the economic crisis, that, you know, well, Canada's faring so much better, and, you know, the economic situation isn't as dire as a lot of places you have in Europe and in the United States, although, as you pointed out, there's certain elements that are similar. Within that economics issue, do you think it'll be harder for the Occupy movement to sort of get some traction because there is this sort of notion to many Canadians that, you know, this is still a land of milk and honey?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know, really, but I think that there are enough people here affected by the economic crisis. I mean, we do have, you know, something like 9% of people unemployed. We do have, like, people struggling to get by on welfare where the checks aren't enough to feed their families and to, you know, they're having to make sacrifices that no one else is asked to make for their families. So in to say that all Canadians, you know, are comfortable ignores the reality that many, many people are struggling and, you know, are forced to work multiple jobs, particularly people of color, poor people, immigrants, And so I don't agree with that analysis that, you know, that we don't have the same kind of hardship as in the States. In the United States, they're saying, well, you don't have the same kind of hardship as they have in Egypt. Why would you have an Egypt-style uprising here?
Huh.
But, I mean, you go to some places in the States and there's like, I remember seeing in like, you know, Detroit, you know, unpaved street in black neighborhoods with fire hydrants open and kids in bare feet running around rolling tires, you know? Well, and complete neglect from the state, basically people being abandoned, entire inner city cores being abandoned. In South Chicago, I remember seeing, you know, entire neighborhoods where every two out of every three homes were foreclosed and had been boarded up. Like, so yeah, things aren't quite like that here. But you have a substantial number of people who are not content with the economic system. And among that, there are, you know, a growing group of people who are completely disgusted with it, on either because it affects them personally or because it's not the way they think we should be living as a society.
Now, kind of also talking about this a little more broad-based, there was also, I've talked about this in another interview with Tim McSorley from the Media Co-op, where we kind of talked about this... the notion that some, at least the critique that some people have made, even on the left, that this Occupy thing is a lot of middle-class white people. So my question is in Vancouver, is there a lot of, let's say, for instance, Aboriginal involvement or in this Occupy Vancouver, for instance, or trying to connect those issues?
Yeah, this has been an issue from the very beginning, before it was even organized. A week before the launch of Occupy Vancouver, there was a General Assembly that kind of was talking about the decision-making process. Some activists had tried to get the name changed to decolonize Vancouver, and there was outrage. In fact, there was those activists who are, you know, core committed longtime organizers in Vancouver had got personal attacks at both the meeting and then on Facebook afterwards, and people saying that they were trying to colonize and press the movement, and you know, warning that the loony left was taking over and this 99% movement was going to be hijacked by these sub-agendas. It's still very contentious, and every General Assembly that happens, I mean, it's daily, they have these meetings that are run on consensus, and there are people who block very basic things like having anti-oppression training. And so it's a lot of people who haven't been activists before, first of all. And it is a much broader based thing in terms of, you know, having more so-called mainstream or middle-class people being involved in it. So, yeah, the issues of privilege in the movement are very, very essential. And but I will say that the discussions have been happening, and they're becoming more respectful, I would say, in that people are, their eyes are opening a bit to, first of all, the reality of colonialism. I've heard a lot more discussions happening at Occupy Vancouver about that. And also the, you know, looking at the police realistically, realizing that they can hurt people. And I think the events in Oakland and across the states this last few days will really probably open some other people's eyes that you can't really trust the police, and simply working with them and cooperating doesn't guarantee that you will be safe from them. But yeah, the movement is not, I wouldn't say very racially diverse here. There's way too low participation from Indigenous peoples. They do acknowledge the Coast Salish territory that the movement is operating on, but it doesn't go much further than that at this point. And people are at the Occupy camp are really pushing for a more strong statement, as well as more outreach. And I think where they're at is actually reaching out and consulting with Indigenous peoples about the protocols. And I went down there about 4 days ago, and an Indigenous person was doing a smudging ceremony, and there was, you know, 20 people there participating as she explained it and did it with them. So there's some glimmers of hope, I would say, but it's ironic that a movement that calls itself Occupy, and we're living on occupied land here in Canada, wouldn't connect the dots. But I know that lots of people are connecting the dots. The question is how to spread that into the wider movement, and also how to make that very visible in terms of how the public and the media sees the message, because you can't talk about the 1% versus the 99% in Canada without talking about colonization and the dispossession and theft of native lands. It seems very essential to me, and it doesn't necessarily have to alienate the so-called mainstream. It's more about making the demands of the Occupy movement local and relevant, and yeah, exactly, making it local and relevant.
Great. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for giving your time, David, to come on and talk about this stuff. So if someone wants to, if our listeners wants to check out some of your writings and some of your coverage of this Occupy thing in Vancouver, where can they find that?
They can go to my website, davidpball.net.
Excellent. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.